So wake up, wake up, wake up, all you sleepers, stand up. Oh, stand up, stand up, all you dreamers, hands up. Hands up, hands up, all believers, take up your cross and carry it on.
In the TV series What Not to Wear, participants get a fashion makeover. The fashion experts take the participants' old wardrobe and they throw it out and replace it with a whole new wardrobe. Join us as Andrea Langham teaches us from God's Word how we should dress as Christians. We won't be looking in our physical closets, we'll be examining our spiritual closets. So please turn to Colossians 3 and let's join Andrea.
God is good, you know, he's doing some cool things and I get to go on that ride with him, so yay. I also have three children. My oldest is a junior in high school, actually. We're going to apply for colleges in the fall. I'm freaking out. I know. Tell me I don't look old enough to have one of those. Even if you don't believe it, just say it. I'm just kidding. I do. It's because my voice sounds like a child. That's why. My oldest daughter, Daisy, and then we have a 13-year-old son named Caleb, and our daughter, Shiloh, is 8. I am a homeschool mom. I also help serve in the radio ministry here at Refuge. I had a grande latte before I came. It was free, so I got the size up. So I'm hoping I'm coherent. And coffee is from the Lord, so it was totally, I was doing right. Just so you know. what else do I do? Oh, I help in children's ministry, which is fun, but I'm doing that less and less because I'm busy. And then I also serve over at Long Beach as well, making breakfast and sometimes announcing there, sometimes saying crazy things there as well. So that's who I am. Last week, Shannon taught us about true beauty, right? She taught us about how true beauty is marked by the wisdom of the Lord. And we saw that awesome picture of Corrie ten Boom and Kate Beckinsale. And were you just drawn to Corrie's face? I kept looking at it going, wow, like there was just something in that. And she did such a good job. And this week, I didn't know what she was teaching about, but it was the Lord, because we're continuing on that discussion of true beauty this week. So tonight we're going to talk about what not to wear. We're going to talk about how we dress as Christians. And I don't mean the typical worldly how we dress. I'm not talking about low tops and high cuts. We're not talking about that. We're talking spiritually. So let's turn to Colossians 3 and let's start in verse 5. Wait, let's pray. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you so much, Lord, for just bringing us here tonight, Father. I thank you for your word that you give to us, Father, that we take for granted sometimes, but you give it to us and you speak to us, and your words are always kind. They're always loving. They're always gentle, Father. Yes, they admonish us. Yes, they convict us, Lord, but they're for our good, Lord. I thank you that you are here tonight, Father. I ask that you would receive all glory, that you would speak tonight, that you would open all of our hearts, Lord, to hear your word and not only be hearers, but doers of your word, Father. And I just thank you for your goodness in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Colossians 3, verse 5. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now you yourselves are to put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. You see, here Paul is telling us how to dress as Christians. Have you guys ever worn the wrong thing to the wrong place? Have you? My favorite story of my glorious moment of dressing the wrong way. We were in Mississippi. My husband and I lived in Mississippi with our kids too. We brought them. We lived in Mississippi for almost 4.5 years. And the first Christmas we were there, we were at Calvary Chapel Bay St. Louis. There was this couple who put together a worship program for the Christmas. And I got to be part of, you know, singing up there. And they like to coordinate down in the South. They like their worship teams to all, you know, be more of a program, I guess. I wasn't quite used to it. But during the meeting before the performance or program, they said, okay, we need to coordinate our tops. You need to wear either green, red, or yellow. I mean, gold. And so I was talking to some people. I found there were a couple people wearing green, a couple people wearing red. This one girl was wearing gold. And I was like, okay, well, I'll wear gold. I'll kind of balance this out. So I go to the Gulfport outlets, and I find myself this shimmery, long, golden top. It went all the way to here. Like, it was gold, and it sparkled. It was really fun. And black pants. And it was a little over the top, but I was like, you know, Southern Belle's the South. It'll be all good. And then to go with it, because I needed shoes, because we all need shoes, I found these super tall platform gold sparkly monsters. Like, yeah, it was ridiculous, but I got them. And so the night of the performance, I come wobbling in my giant shoes and my giant gold shirt, and everyone's in red. Everyone. And I was like, what did I miss? And they're like, oh, Andrea, we forgot to call you. We decided we're doing red, but that's okay. You're going to be our bright little Christmas star. I was like, are you kidding? Because I was located in the center of the stage. And I don't really enjoy being the center of attention. Like, I like being in groups and laughing, but I don't like being the center. So I'm on stage, the bright golden star, just shimmering brightly in gold. Everyone else, like, it was my band. I just sang harmonies. Like, that was my whole thing. Well, I sang some regular too. At one point, I was so nervous. I'm shining for the whole world to see, well, the whole church to see. And I was trying to focus on my harmonies. And there was a line that I was supposed to, it's in Born This, what song is that? Born This Happy Moment. Oh, Come All You Faithful. So I'm nervous, and instead of happy, I start to sing Born This Christmas Morning, but I catch it. And after I say the cruh, I'm all, oh, happy. So in my golden shining splendor, I just said, Born This you fill it in, morning. That's my life. This is every day for me, you guys. So I wore the wrong thing, and that's what Paul is saying. Sorry. Let's go back to verse 5 really quick. Paul says in verse 8, therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. And then verse 8, now you yourselves are to put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. So doesn't this sound kind of like a set of rules? Sounds like another set of rules, doesn't it? And haven't we always been taught, like, we're saved by grace through faith, Ephesians 2:8, we're saved by grace through faith, not of works. What are these rules? What's Paul saying here? Well, what he's trying to say, if you go back in chapter 2, Paul's addressing legalism. He's saying, you can't be good on your own. You can't do it. Your righteousness doesn't work. So, okay, so we don't have rules to be a Christian. So does that mean that God has lowered his standards? And that's a question that we need to ask ourselves today in the church, because we see, as our society is changing what values are, what good values are, as things that were once called evil are now called good, and things that once were good are called evil, we start to wonder in our church, and even have some splits in our church over, is God really saying that things are bad and things are good? So has God, I mean, has changed what he's saying about what is wrong and what is right? Does God lower his standards? And Paul answers us in this next section. God does not lower his standards. He raises the dead. chapter 3, verse 1. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. You see, the first part of dressing like a Christian is, who are you wearing? Isn't that the question they ask on all the red carpets? Who are you wearing? Who are you wearing? Well, I myself am wearing Target 2013 collection, a little old Navy sail, and some Mississippi something. That's what I'm, and a little thrift shop right here. That's what I'm wearing. But the big question is, who are you wearing? You see, the answer is Christ. Once you have been raised from the dead, you are now wearing Christ. You have been given a whole nother wardrobe. Your old dead self has a different wardrobe than what you have now. And in my old wardrobe, my literal old wardrobe, I was a raver for a little bit before I knew Christ. And I wore some pretty, like I had these crazy bell bottoms that had the fur we sewed on the bottom. You in the 70s know what I'm talking about, right? Yes. Who lived through the 70s, we just borrowed it. You know, and I had a little belly shirt and a little something, something. Now, how funny would that old wardrobe look on me now? Especially at the homeschool events, y'all. That would be not go over well. In my minivan, I have a minivan, so that's definitely not going to work. I'm a soccer mom. I really am. It doesn't work. You see, now that I have on Christ, I have a whole new wardrobe. He gives me his robe of righteousness. As a Christian, that old closet is dead. So the first part of dressing as a Christian is, who are you wearing? Second part of dressing like a Christian is found in verse 5. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth. And what he's saying for the second part is, you need to put to death your old body. Your old body is gone. Your old ways are gone. They're dead. You had a zombie with your filthy rags of your own righteousness on it, and now it's gone. And those things which we put to death with our old lives are listed right here. The first one is fornication. And you guys know fornication is any kind of sex outside of God's ordained plan for marriage. And that was part of my old life before I knew Christ. I was in that. And then thankfully I was married and became a believer really soon. So that was easy to throw off. You know, that was dead. Any kind of sex outside of marriage. And that's even hard today because even in the church, we're starting to question that. But that's part of the old life. That's something we kill and we leave dead. The next one, uncleanness. Unclean. And these next few things that are listed all have to do with sexual immorality. It's all in there. Uncleanness is dirty thoughts and dirty living. It's the dirty jokes that you hear constantly on, you know, TV and movies. Things that when before we knew Christ were funny. Before I knew Christ, that's how I thought. Like, I was always, everything became a dirty joke, you know? And I remember when I was a new believer, trying to put that, you know, make that dead because it just, like, it didn't fit. It was like, this is wrong. This doesn't work anymore, you know? And then now, praise the Lord, like, now I have to be explained when a dirty joke, you know? Like, I'll hear something, Chris is like, honey. I'm like, okay. But that's the Lord because my old self is dead and now I have the new. The next one is passion. And this passion is the one that means lust, lustful thoughts, lusting after things that are not your husband, your spouse. That's the kind of lust. No thoughts, no, you know, desires over anyone that's not your spouse. We put that away. Sometimes I think as well, that's hard to put away because if we're not acting on it, we think it's okay. But if it's in your mind, you put it to death. It's not, doesn't fit anymore. It's part of your old self. Evil desires, anything that the Lord calls evil that you desire, put it off. It's dead. It goes with the old stinky body. One point we need to know is God's creation. You need to learn, what does the Lord say is evil? Because we're really, you can see in our society, there's a split right now between what God says is evil and what the world says is evil. And you can see that in our news headlines. So So find out what God says is evil. Don't desire it. And finally, covetousness, which is idolatry. And it's the same covetousness. The word is the same one that means greedy. It's the same word used in Luke 5 where Jesus says to beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist of the abundance of things. It's whenever we desire to have more than what God has given us, and we just want things. And again, hard in Orange County, I know. I have learned to love my minivan. I think I drive my minivan and I see literally like Corvettes driving next to me, and I'm pretty sure they're checking my car out. Because I'm like, I know. Don't be hating. I'm just kidding. I love my minivan. It's so fun. Anyway, so these things, when they come up, they will try to raise from the dead like little zombies. They'll try to raise from the dead, but when you see them, you're like, no, you're dead. You're dead to me. You're dead to me. They will come up. Put them down. They're dead. And Paul says here, just stop it. Now stop it. And we go into the next, which leads us into the next section of how to dress as a Christian, of we take it off, ladies. We're going to take it off. Verse 8, but now you yourselves are to put off. And the word put off is literally like taking off a coat or a jacket. It's just take it off. I picture in my imagination, my robe of righteousness, my beautiful Christian gown is a cute maxi dress with stripes. I mean, in 5 years, it's going to look different. But for right now, it's a cute maxi dress in stripes. And what I picture of these things I'm take off are my old clothes that I'm trying to stuff on. I picture wearing my cute little maxi dress, and I'm trying to pull on my stinky old bell bottoms over it or my belly shirt. And I've had 3 kids. No one wants to see that. Really. It's like trying to put your old stinky clothes on over your old clothes. Okay, who here has watched What Not to Wear? You guys, oh, yeah. It's a good one, huh? My last time I watched it, my TV, it was like on antenna reception, and everybody had like bright pink like lips because it was all, and I'm like, the makeup always looks the same. I don't get it. But what's the first thing they do? Well, first they put the person in the 360 mirror, which is just mean. You know, I don't care what you look like. You don't want to go in a 360 mirror. And then they show them what they're wearing. And that's the picture here. You're like, look, okay, you have a new life. You are no longer yourself. Look what you're wearing. And then what do? They throw it all away. They have to throw all of their clothes away into this big old garbage can. And look, they pick some pretty crazy looking people, so they need to take it off. I've considered trying to dress a little worse so I could get on the show, really. So they take it off, and that's what it's saying to do here. Just take it off. It doesn't belong. You have a new wardrobe. You are no longer a dead zombie. You are wearing Christ. Take it off. The first thing he says to take off is anger. And the word anger here means like that simmering, seeping anger. It's the kind that boils, that you can just let your mind go and keep getting more and more angry, and your heart pounds and you just get a chip on your shoulder. That's anger. And it's not pretty. The other day I saw the face of a woman very angry marching through some doors, and I was like, oh, is that what I look like? Like, it's not pretty. It looks ugly. It's sorry, you know, but she was angry. Well, so what am I saying? Are we supposed to just kind of suppress our anger? Just kind of push it down? Don't let them see. Don't let them feel. Come on, you know it's frozen. I can't think of the rest of the words. Don't let them know. No. Are we supposed to? No. Because that would be an expensive way to live, because therapy is not cheap. And we would have all kinds of therapy we'd need if we were just constantly suppressing. No, we take it off. We remove it. I was driving just a couple days ago, and I had this simmering anger going on. And there was some things said, not at me, but to me, that were so wrong. And I was like, driving just like, oh, and I knew it. I'm like, Lord, this is not how you want me to be. I mean, part of it was righteous anger. It was just wrong. But it wasn't what God wanted me to focus on and just keep building. And I could have gone off. I was going to go Pompeii, you know. I was upset. And I just said, God, I need your help. I need to take this off. It doesn't look good. It doesn't fit. And just a few minutes later, just in the normal course of the day, I started serving. And the minute I started serving, it came off. I didn't push it down. It literally, God used that in me to take it off. And I can still think about it and I can get myself back on there, but I don't. I know, God, I have taken that off and I don't want to put it on. You know, and I'm praying of how to deal with that, but it's not by letting it simmer in there. The next one to take off, it says, is wrath. And wrath is that explosive anger that comes out. Sometimes it is connected with a simmering anger that you let stew, that all of a sudden it just becomes an outburst of wrath. I sadly have my old belly shirt of wrath in my minivan. It stays there, and I tend to put it on when somebody is blocking my way unnecessarily on the road, or left turn signals. I mean, left turn arrows. When people can't go through a left turn arrow, I have my wrath on. I'm sitting there with my muffin top and my wrath, and I'm just like, ah, what are you doing? And I'll throw my hands up in the air, and I'll steer them down. And I'll go, what are you doing? You know, and and it's so sad because it so looks ridiculous on me. And my kids all see it. They're like, oh, Mom, like they know. And I don't want them to drive like that. And there is a way I take that off, but I'll share it a little later. And I'm getting better. My belly shirt is getting more shoved under the seat. So wrath. The next is malice. And malice is wishing harm or bad things on others. And sadly, again, that happens a lot amongst us, doesn't it? Like if you really examine, when there is somebody that either has rubbed you the wrong way, or maybe they're really successful and you're a little jealous of them, or maybe, I don't know, they were mean to you. You know, there's something, that there was something in that relationship that you don't really care for them too much. When something really good happens, you're a little bit like, oh, well, you know. Eh. But if something bad happens, you're like, well, yes, obviously. Well, yeah, they had that coming. You know, we have that kind of attitude. And I have to watch myself because it is the language of the world. You see it in the news. The minute some celebrity or star, something happens, it's like lions attacking. It's just, we attack and we're like, well, that's good for them. They got what they deserved, you know, kind of thing. And again, it happens in the church. You guys know that Rick Warren, the pastor of Saddleback Church, his son recently committed suicide. And he said one of the hardest things was afterwards, the people, both Christians and non-Christians, writing almost boasting about his son dying. You know, almost, you just like, well, that's what he deserves kind of thing. And it's ugly and it's disgusting. And I have to make sure myself, you know, when even a star, especially a star, even a politician where you see something happening in their life and you're like, well, that's what they deserve. And there is, you know, there's a difference between justice and malice, but these are people that God loves that are created in his image and we're never to wish bad upon others, so we need to take it off. All right, the next one is blasphemy. Blasphemy is impious and reproachful speech, injurious to divine majesty, which sounds really smart. I copied it from a dictionary. But it basically is meaning anytime that we slander God's name. We tear it down. God's name is holy, and should come out of our mouth as respected and holy. And the way I see this in the world when it happens is I see, you know, people making fun of Jesus, like turning Jesus into a character. I've seen it more and more lately, and it just makes me sick because you're like, that's God. That's blasphemy. Blasphemy is also taking on the attributes of God as your own. Remember, that's what Jesus was charged with, And when he was crucified, they said he claims to be equal with God. And they said that's blasphemy. So many times in our own life that we try to be God as well, that can be blasphemy. We do that when we try to play the Holy Spirit, which sometimes happens as women. I don't know. But that we are to put it off. It should be far from us. And then filthy language out of your mouth. This happens a lot more than we care to share. In the world, you go to a movie or TV show, and it's just like, for some reason, when you're watching, have you guys ever been to a movie where all of a sudden it's quiet and somebody says a bad word and the place erupts in laughter? And you're like, what? Are we in junior high? Like, why is that word funny? Have you not heard it before? I mean, before I was a Christian, I had the mouth of a sailor. And so, like, yeah, I know, and I sound like a child, it's even worse. But I had a bad mouth, so it doesn't necessarily shock me when I hear bad language, and I don't expect Christians, I don't expect them to clean up their language around me. But what does surprise me is when I see believers swearing. See what I did there? When they're swearing. And it happens. It's not something we judge each other, but it shouldn't be part of our wardrobe. We need to take it off. And if sometimes we let that anger boil up in us, and then in our minds, the words come, because they do, the words will come, we put it off before it comes out. Put it off before it comes out. It shouldn't be part of our vocabulary. And then the next section says, and do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds. And I think in the church, again, the area we see as Christians where we're wearing our little lying outfit is with our little white lies and half-truths. Some of it, I wonder if it has to do with social media, because our community has become so small that we're so afraid of offending others, that we think it's okay to tell white lies in order not to hurt someone's feelings. And we would rather just say, I'm too busy to talk to you. I didn't answer your call because I'm too busy. You know, we make up excuses why we're not fellowshipping with someone, why we're not returning texts. Well, we're called to speak the truth in love. We need to put this off. We need to take it off. If you're upset with someone, if somebody has made you angry, and you've gone to the Lord, and you feel like, I just need to tell him, then tell him. The other day, I don't know if I should say exactly, well, I'll tell you because I told the morning class. My mom was really mad at me. And okay, I'm not saying I can't make people mad, because I can. You know, I'm human. I can make people angry. Ask my children. But in this case, it wasn't my fault, for reals. It wasn't me. It was kind of silly. But she was mad. And the whole time she's on the phone telling me that she's hurt, I was like, oh my goodness. Instead of being mad, I'm like, thank you so much for just telling me. Thank you for, instead of punishing me silently and all of a sudden just not calling me or not talking to me or not sending my C's box of chocolates and, you know, and making up reasons why, you were honest with me. And I think we need that more in the body of Christ. Not that we're to run and tell everybody why they're, you know, we're mad at each other, because we're family, so we're gonna make it, you know, rub each other the wrong way here and there. But we need to be more honest with love, with tact, clearly. And again, before you go to the Lord, there's times when I've been upset with someone and I go to the Lord, and by the time I'm done with the Lord, I'm like, I should be apologizing to them. You know, like, they didn't really do anything wrong. I'm just a big baby, you know. So I'm definitely not saying go start a bunch of confrontations, because that's not going to help anyone. But be honest. All right. In all these things that Paul is telling us to take off, you know, ending in verse 9, it's easy to look at everybody else's outfits. It's easy to see, it's way easier for me to see your outfits than you can see, than for me to see mine. In fact, this morning, apparently, I had the sweater on, I had no idea. They were like, Andrea, yes, all morning I was like covering my whole body with it. I seriously All I remember is I was sitting like this most of the time. And I'm like, what am I doing? I don't even know. But it's easy for me to judge you for your belly shirt. And I'm wearing clown shoes. You know what I mean? Like, this does not mean to judge one another. This does not mean we're checking out everybody else's outfits around us. We have our own things we need to be putting off. Let others deal with their own outfits. And if you want to help, then you just be that mirror, meaning you're being that image of Christ and loving and showing them by being someone who loves them and cares for them and being patient with them. So then the next way that we be dressed like a Christian, the fourth way is now Paul's going to talk about, did you raise your hand? The fifth one, I'm sorry. Good notes. Is we put it on. Let's read verse 12. Now what are we wearing? Now that we have Christ on, what is our beautiful robe all about? Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, you see, we're wearing God, so we're holy and beloved, put on tender mercies. And tender mercies is that compassionate heart. We have compassion for others. The way that we walk, we think of what it would be like to walk in others' shoes, the way God came down to earth and walked in man's shoes. He became man, and he has compassion on us. And that's what we think. When we start to get angry, we put ourselves in other people's positions. We have compassionate hearts. We put on tender mercies. The second one is kindness. And kindness is just being, you know, being nice and saying something kind to one another for their benefit and just their benefit. And this is the one I have to put on in order to take off my wrath shirt, my wrath belly shirt. I have to put on kindness. I will be driving and I'll be like, ah! And then I'm like, putting on kindness, children. I'm putting, mom is putting on her kindness. And it works because we learn that in Proverbs 15:1, it's a gentle answer turns away wrath. And it's so true. Have you guys ever been driving? Again, I'm obsessed with driving. But when you're driving and somebody cuts you off, but then they give you a wave like, oh, I'm sorry, my bad. And the minute they do that, you're all, oh, we're all good. We're all good. Like, if somebody runs across the street, they're like, hey, that was my fault. I'm like, that's fine. We're good. It's the same thing. A gentle answer turns away wrath. We put on kindness and meekness, which is gentleness, which we were just talking about. We put on a gentle mind, careful how we speak to one another. And that goes along with telling the truth. Are you speaking with kindness? Are you speaking with meekness? Are you telling the truth in love these ways? And then we put on humility. And to me, humility is that beautiful necklace that adorns our outfit. Humility is what helps us to see that apart from Christ, we're just a zombie wearing filthy rags. Humility helps us see that you may be wearing your little bell bottoms or MC Hammer pants, whatever you used to wear back in the day, but I'm still wearing, nobody wears Crocs, just kidding. I was trying to think of a funny shoe, clown shoes. Humility is what, when we saw that picture of Corrie Ten Boom and we saw how beautiful she was, and have you guys read her book or any of her books? And you read her books and she's got such wisdom, and in her wisdom, she has such humility. There was, every time I read that, she was just like lifting up Christ and lowering herself, that entire story, and it's so beautiful. Humility is what helps us love one another. And we also put on long-suffering. And long-suffering is patience. We need to be patient with one another because we don't see the end from the beginning, right? I was talking to a mom this morning whose daughter is like, she's just this beautiful Christian girl and they are totally live a life of ministry and everything. And I was talking to her and she's like, oh, when she was 15 and 16, we didn't talk for like 6 months. I once kicked her out of the car on a ride to Disneyland and left. She had to find her way home. She was like, I'm all, what? But that, because we don't see the end of a person. It's like when God addressed Gideon. Remember when Gideon was hiding in the barrels and he was a coward and God said, called him a brave man. That's the same way we have to be with each other. We don't see what we're going to be. We're rough around the edges, but God is conforming us into his image. And that's what we're talking about right now. We're talking about being conformed into the image of Christ. So we put on long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another if anyone has a complaint against another. Even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. Forgiveness is not an option. Forgiveness is a have to. If you want to be forgiven, you have to forgive. You guys remember when Jesus tells the story of the servant who was forgiven much and then went and didn't forgive a little thing? Forgiveness is what we have to do. When you don't have a choice, it makes choosing easy, right? Like when you go to In-N-Out, it's either a hamburger or not. So it's an way easier choice to make than if you go to Carl's Jr. and you can get a burrito, you can get a taco or a burger or a fried zucchini. You know what I mean? Like when you don't have the choice, it's easy to make it. You have to forgive. Forgiving is one of those garments that's really can be difficult to put on. I was thinking about my sweet little daughters. My little 8-year-old Shiloh hates wearing dresses. Like, she is the total tomboy, would wear long. She loves wearing long soccer or basketball shorts, and she'd wear a tank top. She's been like this since she was 3. Just a sweet girl, but does not like dresses. For me, putting forgiveness on is like trying to get my girls in a dress. It's putting Shiloh in a dress. But when she gets it on, she's so beautiful. I'm always like, oh, Shiloh, you're so beautiful. That's forgiveness. It makes us beautiful. It's part of our robe of righteousness. Forgiving another doesn't mean that you're saying that what that person did to you is okay and that you should let them do it again. Part of forgiveness is having the wisdom to know how not to lead that person into stumbling to sin against you again, so you're wise about it, but it means that you do not hold that as debt over them any longer. You are free from it. And I was reminded that there is a guy in our fellowship who has worked, I don't know if he still does, but he worked in a mental hospital, and he said a lot of what the people in the mental hospital dealt with that brought him there was unforgiveness in their lives. Because unforgiveness is like serving poison to someone else but then drinking it. It only hurts you. You know, I mean, it can cause a rift in the relationship, but it really eats you alive. So we have to forgive. It's not an option. All right. And finally, on top of everything else, we're going to continue to read in verse 14. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which you also were called in one body, and be thankful. Above everything, you put on love. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is long-suffering. Sound familiar? It's all the things. Our robe is love. That's what we are to put on. Putting on love makes it easy to take off anger. We put on love, it's easy to take off wrath. It's easy to take those other things on. When you really see others through Christ's eyes, when you're wearing love, it's easy to take off. So my question today is, what are you wearing? Clothes are very important. Getting dressed for a Christian, if you are a Christian and you are wearing Christ, if you have been raised from the dead and you are wearing Christ, it is a daily battle to get dressed. It's something we do every single day, just like we do in real life. Well, this is all real life, but what we do in our normal lives, we get up. Sometimes it's a battle to take off our jammies and to put on our clothes, but we do it. Every day we work to put on our kindness and to take off our wrath. We do it without giving up because we are being conformed into the image of God. That's what we were meant to be in the beginning. God said in Genesis 1, 26 to 27, he keeps saying, let us create man in our image. Let us create man in our image. He says like, I don't know, 4 or 5 times. He talks about making man in the image of God. And that's what we were supposed to be, but we fell and sin came in and we died and we became zombies and we became, you know, filthy rags and we lost the image of God. And so for the rest of our lives, he's bringing us, conforming us into the image. So that's our daily battle as a Christian. But for somebody who's not wearing Christ, it's an eternal issue. Let's turn to Matthew 22. And in Matthew 22, Jesus likens the kingdom of heaven to a wedding feast of a king for his son. And in the beginning, he goes out and he invites, you know, all his friends, and they all have excuses why they can't come to the wedding feast. And we know that was to be the Jewish people at that time. He was talking about the Jewish people. But then in verse 8, he says, so this is Matthew 22, 8, then he said to his servants, the wedding is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy. Therefore, go into the highways, and as many as you find, invite to the wedding. So those servants went out into their highways and gathered all whom they found, both bad and good, and the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he saw a man there who did not have on a wedding garment. So he said to him, friend, how did you come in here without a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then the king said to the servant, bind him hand and foot, take him away and cast him into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen. If you're not wearing the garment of Christ, it doesn't matter what you're taking off or putting on because you can't get in. You were invited, but you can't get in. So let's put on Christ today. Those out there who've never worn Christ, living in their zombie filthy rags, let's go and love on them today. Show them Christ. Show them what a beautiful garment we get to wear. You know, that, what a testimony to people when they get to see Christ in you. That's what draws people. All right, let's go ahead and pray. Father God, I just thank you so much for your love to us. God, that for no cost of our own, you gave us the most beautiful garment we could hope for, Christ. We thank you for your love, for your kindness, your tender mercies, your patience with us, Lord. We thank you that you have made us beautiful, and not of any of our works, but because you are good, Lord. We pray that you would help us, Father, to take off those things that make our outfits look silly. Lord, help us to put off those things and forgive us for our sins, Lord. Pray that you would just be glorified here tonight, Father, in the small groups time, Lord, that there would be sweet fellowship, Lord, and sweet encouragement amongst your daughters here, Lord. I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
So wake up, wake up, wake up, all you sleepers, stand up. Oh, stand up, stand up, all you dreamers, hands up. Hands up, hands up, all believers,
take up your cross and carry it on.
This has been a presentation of the Heart to Heart Women's Ministry at Refuge Calvary Chapel, Huntington Beach. For more information about this ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495.